on?
We're all sorted now. We've got both readers.
Some of them print, some churches print out the order of service. Yes, they older
usually
don't.
Do, but for some reason that didn't get done quite. They've just got, we've got a list of hymns which don't have properly with the readings in the right place.
When I was in the URC, the ex-Presbyterians, who were lovely, but they were very, they didn't like anybody doing anything other than the minister. So they didn't, some of them, not all of them, didn't like another person reading. They were the kindest, most generous people.
Yeah. But it had always been the ministers.
Yeah,
and the
Presbyterians, nearly all Scots, of course. And I mean, a lot of them became my friends, but they were very sort of set in the way. They had to get used to, you know, because they joined, it was Congregationalist and Presbyterian, of course, that joined together. And the congregations are all free and easy, of course, more than Methodism, and it caused a few problems out there, do you know?
Do you want to go in for the same
we're
time?
All, we're all individuals, aren't we? Yeah.
Do you want to go and sit in the front? There's a couple of chairs.
Yes.
Good morning. What a lovely day outside, isn't it? On the other hand, though, I'm quite pleased it might rain tonight because my water butt is empty and my garden's very dry. We're just never satisfied, are we, really? But if it can rain when it's dark, that will be lovely. But the sunshine during the day is super. So welcome to everybody here this morning. The notices have been going up behind me as we've been sitting, listening, looking and perhaps remembering. It's mentioned that it's Christian Aid Week this week. People have already started to bring some envelopes, and there is a basket at the back of the church near the collection gizmo. If you want to pop your Christian Aid envelope in there, that's fine. Thank you very much indeed. The poppies, I just saw the picture of the poppies. I've been knitting poppies. I have to say, my poppies don't look quite so nice as those poppies. But a poppy is a poppy anyway, isn't it? So if you've been asked to knit poppies, please keep knitting, because I think they need 2,000 to go on the banner that's aimed for the 11th of November in a few months' time. Things have been going on during the week. I know it's summertime now, but there is one of our last film shows this coming Saturday. It might be a nice day, it might not be, but we're going to watch Wimbledon. Not Wimbledon, a tennis match, but a film called Wimbledon. So you'll all be very welcome to get in the mood for a bit of ping-pong before Wimbledon actually starts itself. Yesterday was the board games day, and there's a considerable amount of cake left over, which is good for us. So it's going to be available with our coffee after the church service. And there'll be a donation plate on the side because the money from the sale of the cake will go towards the board games total package, which goes towards church. So indirectly, we are still supporting church via somebody else having made some lovely cake for us. So with all those notices, it's time for our service, and we welcome Pam, who's come to lead our worship this morning, and we prepare for worship with God. Thank you.
You all right, love?
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be here on this lovely sunny morning. And so let us pray. Come into God's presence, leave behind worries, leave behind cares, leave behind prejudice and preference. Come to God who accepts all, who receives all, and who loves all. Come and worship our surprising God. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 102, which I think is so appropriate today, For the Beauty of the Earth. We'll have our prayers of praise and confession. Let us pray. Loving God, you have created every single person and creature that has ever walked this planet. You do not create us for wickedness and evil, yet because of our sin, we have chosen to turn away from you and make our own choices, many of which we know are the wrong things to do. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. We know in our heart of hearts that we are called apart, chosen by you to do our little bit in establishing your kingdom here among us. Your word reminds us that if we meditate on what it is you are calling us to, we will be like trees planted by streams of water, yielding good fruit to share with our families, friends and communities. Protect us, Lord, just as Jesus prayed your protection over his disciples from being chaff that is blown away by the wind. Give us strong roots to stand firm when the world around us is desperately tries its best to distract us and knock us off course. We rejoice in your promise of eternal life. This is good news to all, And we pray for your anointing and your sanctification upon us as we do what we can to share it with a world which so desperately needs it. And now another confession. Forgive us when we flare up full of anger, resentment and self-pity. Remind us that our cup overflows with the stillness of tolerance, understanding and acceptance. Forgive us when we feel filled to overflowing with doubt, defiance and fear. Today we set ourselves before you, ready to be filled anew with your light, truth and hope, that these attributes might cascade overflowing the brim of my heart, of our hearts, into the hearts of those we meet. Source of all goodness and mercy, forgive and renew us today. May it be so. Amen. Now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those which trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now can we have the reading from Psalm 1?
Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the companies of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to sing about the fruits of all creation, hymn number 124. Now we'll have the New Testament reading from the Acts of the Apostles. It's lovely to have different people reading. Do come out. It rests my voice, and I think it's good for congregations to hear different voices. So thank you for all those who volunteer. Is that the right word, volunteer?
A reading from Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, followed by verses 21 to 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living amongst us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Amen.
Thank you. Now, I thought we'd try something a bit different. I don't like just doing conventional services. I might be old, but I'm not conventional, even though I'm old. I've found that people always tend to think that I will be because I'm old. But those of you who are older, you're not all conventional, are you? You know, we're all, sometimes young people are more conventional. So I'm going to ask you to do things. I hope you don't mind. Now, that reading, they have to choose another apostle. They draw lots, which was what they normally did. Actually, they didn't do it with sticks like we probably think. But what made them pick on these two? We don't know. Must have been, what it is that people are influenced in their Christian life. Would you say that? Have you been influenced in your Christian lives? Well, I would like you to talk to each other about anybody who's influenced you. Now, I'm going to tell you about a lady in Alderley Edge who I didn't really know, but who taught my husband in Sunday school. Her name was Miss Moxham, and she lived in a great big house up the edge. And she used to wear a cape. She looked like Miss Marple in the American films, Margaret Rutherford and people like that. Utterly eccentric. But she was, and the house looked like something from Jane Eyre or something like that. And she taught in Sunday school. And she taught my husband. She was a very good artist. And they used to have separate classes then, boys and girls. And she taught the boys. And she used to draw pictures of cowboys shooting each other. And right underneath, "God is love," things like that. She was a bit eccentric. But her heart was in the right place. She had a niece who got pregnant with an American serviceman. It wasn't the first time that the girls got pregnant. And parents chucked her out, which they did often, didn't they? And so Miss Moxon took her in, gave her a home for as long as she needed, bought things for the baby, and the baby arrived and she helped pay for it. But, and why I'm telling you this is that she was an influence on my husband, who became a minister. And a few weeks ago, I asked this question at Alderley Edge. And there was a couple there who were actually Roman Catholics who'd come must have been mad to hear, because they're friends of mine. But he'd been a Methodist. He'd changed to Catholicism in order to marry this lady. And they'd been married about 50 years. And I asked them to come to the microphone to tell me about their influences, the good influences. And this bloke called John came out to the microphone and talked about the influence that Miss Moxon had on his Christian faith. So I wondered if you could just have a quick talk to each other, and if you remember anybody, might be your mum or your dad, who's been a good influence on you. Would you mind doing that? And then anybody who's willing to come and tell, you don't have to give any names, can come to the microphone and tell us, would you do that? So have a quick chat. You know, even husbands and wives. Or perhaps you've been a good influence on somebody. Wonderful. He all talking that. I did say they're very good at points and they always join in. So is there anybody willing to come and tell us about somebody who's influenced them? You don't have to speak for long. Just say how they influenced. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. Is there anybody willing to do that? Just one person. If one. Oh, here's a lady coming. A steward.
I'll go to the microphone.
You're to that one, yes, yeah. That's right. Oh,
it would be Clifford Daniels. Anyone who's an older person like myself will remember Clifford Daniels. My husband Philip was part of the Methodist Church at Bollington. He was very active in it with the Sunday school, the pantomime, scouting. I wasn't. I was a lapsed person, really. But when the children came along, we wanted to do a proper thing, a Christian upbringing, so we went to Park Lane. And it was Clifford Daniels that welcomed us on the first day. He always had a rose. Do you remember? A yellow rose in his lapel. He was very fond, and I didn't know him in those days, but he was such a lovely gentleman. And the welcome that we got from Park Lane Methodist Church up by the Chippy, he just epitomised to me what a warm welcome and a good Christian should be. And that first impression lasted, and that's how we stayed with Park Lane. But it's thanks to Clifford Daniels, who always welcomed people. Don't think he was a steward, it just was his little role in life, even though he was in his 70s or 80s, to welcome people to church. And sometimes that can be the simplest gesture that has a lot of a big impact.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Willie? Right, Olaf? You want to add? Please yourself.
When we first got married, we bought our house from, it was Billy Green's sister, and he came here and always had a lot of good words to say for the church. And I believe Billy Green was in the male voice choir, if that's right, if anybody knows. And so I was wondering, when we came to see the male voice choir the other day, would anybody have been singing along when he was here? So just a nice connection with the past, but he was very, very kind and a good Christian, you could tell straight away.
Thank you. This is interesting. It's not often great preaching. Great preaching can influence you, but it's this personal thing, isn't it? The, the personal thing between people. And I remember I went to a small church that's a Methodist church that's been closed for donkey's years. It's two houses now at Lindow. It's part of Alderley Edge, but it's 2 miles at least from the village. And I was a normal, healthy teenager, no angel. At least my mother said I wasn't. And I'm an only child, by the way. But she did send me to Sunday school, which, of course, was in the afternoon. And a couple moved there on his retirement from Yorkshire. And he was a chartered accountant. And he was so old-fashioned looking, he wore wing collars. I couldn't take my eyes off these. And his wife, they never had children because they said she was an invalid. She lived till well in her 90s, of course. And but you'd think how old-fashioned he was. But he wasn't. He was so with it. And he taught in Sunday school, and he was so interesting. But he also, he was good with money, of course, he would add up the collection. And one day he said to me, would I check it? And I thought, check it, needs a chartered accountant, you know. And maths is not my subject. I only scraped O-level maths, by the way. And but it was that sort of trustworthiness, and his faith shone, and from his wife, his wife had a right Yorkshire accent you could cut with a knife, you know. And but it's thanks to him that I really became a Christian and became part of the church. And I'll never forget Mr. and Mrs. Hall, they were called. And if you called at the house, you'd finish, and they'd offer you a drink, you'd finish up having a meal. Things like that. They were so kind and generous, and they welcomed all young people. And other people who didn't know them would think that, they don't understand kids, but they were absolutely wonderful with young people especially. And one of them went in the Methodist ministry, and it was under the influence of Mr. Hall and Mrs. Hall. But he was so old-fashioned at home, he would refer to her as Mrs. Hall. You know, they did, didn't they? Victorians did that. And but they were a loving and happy couple. And to my dying day, I'm grateful to the Halls for what they did. So, and thank you for all talking to each other. It's good that there are people around who influence us, aren't they? You know, like that. And Sunday school has been much maligned by some modern people, which is fine. But it's often Sunday school teachers who had this tremendous influence on people. And very often there are people in the church today, and it's thanks to a Sunday school teacher. So thank you for doing that for me. Right, now, where are we up to? We're going to sing 340, Ye Servants of God. course, the Acts of the Apostles is when the disciples start going out to preach to people. And it's interesting, remember, they were all different. Fishermen, who on the face of it would not be academically educated, which shows that real education isn't about schooling, it's about experience and living with other people and listening to other people. And of course, they all had different jobs. And they were still having to face the fact that Jesus wasn't, his physical presence wasn't there. And they'd made their way to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. And they went up to the upper room. All of them were united in prayer. Now, Jesus had told them to do the work of an evangelist, which really he tells us all the time. And Mary, Jesus' mother, was with them, and his brothers. And what's interesting about the brothers, they'd opposed Jesus. They may well have been cousins, by the way. They use language in a different way from ourselves. And they were against what Jesus was doing, but something had happened to change them. Talking with him, I suppose. And there's Peter, who'd become the leader. Poor, impetuous Peter, who put his foot in it regularly. And I understand that because I do that, you know. I'm sure some of you do, don't you? Sometimes we speak, you know, without thinking, don't we? Anyway, there's Peter, the leader. And all these men would be still feeling unhappy about Jesus not being with them. Not only that, Judas, what he had done. And he had been a friend. And now Judas had betrayed their Lord. But remember, the wonderful bit about Peter is that Jesus accepted that he made mistakes. And when he had risen and he appeared to the women, Jesus said, go and bring the others and Peter. He stressed to bring Peter. In other words, he was forgiven. And of course, he also said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And I think you here, you're the rocks that this church is built on and will remain so. All different, you're probably all quite different in your behaviour and how you think, and all have different gifts, don't we? I was in a cafe in Alderley the other day, and they were rushed off their feet and joking with the man next door. He said, I think you better go and help them. I said, gosh, no, clumsy. I drop the food in people's lap. That's not one of my gifts at all. I'm quite good at writing things, and I never stop talking. So we had a good laugh about it, you know. And it as I said, it may well have been the death and resurrection of Jesus that had changed his relatives' minds. I mean, there can be differences in families, can't there? I'm sure you've experienced that. When I was at school, my mother, by the way, was one of eight. She had four brothers and three sisters. And all the sisters wanted me to be a hairdresser. Well, I have a great respect for hairdressers. But I just laughed because I would have accidentally cut somebody's ear off. Hairdresser, things, I'm not a practical person. I can bake, by the way. But I'm not a practical person at all. I'm not into this housewife business, to be honest. I'm different. But so they didn't get a hairdresser. They had to find one somewhere else because I would have been useless. But you get in families where they're pushed into things, and perhaps that's what Jesus' brothers, cousins, whatever, wanted him to do. Now it says, it talks about the number of disciples. It says there was 120. These ordinary people, now most of them would never have left Palestine, were told to go out and evangelize the whole world. Now, if anything began from small beginnings, the Christian church did. Now, we look about the church today, we may feel we're in the minority, and I'm sure when you are outside, when you meet other people, shopping, working, the young meeting kids from school, and grandparents do a lot of that, people often assume that you don't go to church, and you have to point out sometimes. But in when there was only 120 of them, that was a lot less than we have. And of course, lots of non-Christians say, well, I'm as good as you, and that's fine. And many believe that we're all fundamentalists and take all scripture literally, and perhaps some of you do, I don't know, but I'm not one of those. And they've not moved on, while in many ways we as Christians have moved on. Of course, these men, nobody would listen to women, of course. Thank goodness that's changed. They have to listen to us now, don't they? And they gallantly face their task. And so must we, wherever we are. And it may be that we too are only a small beginning from what the kingdom is our sphere, and it will spread, it may spread with us, like those people you must have talked about. Now, I had a friend, I was in the United Christian Singers, which you may have heard of. They still are. Now, I can't go anymore, because my dearest friend, who used to take me to Audenshaw, has moved to Kent. And so I've nobody to take me. And I met a woman there, also called Pam, a contralto. And Pam, what was interesting, she had come into the church late in life. By this time, she was a grandma like me. And when she was a child, her mother had died. And her father wouldn't talk about it and wouldn't tell her and her sister anything about it. Mother just suddenly disappeared. But he sent them to church and no Sunday school three times on a Sunday. And she hated it because there was no sort of facilities for children. And then she met a chap and married him, and he had a heart condition. He warned her when they got married. And one day he went out on his bike, fell off his bike, and bless him, he was dead. So she hated the church. She hated God for doing all these things to her. But she was a teacher, and one of the other teachers was a Methodist. She lived in Sale, by the way. And she said, you know, you're always welcome to come to church. She didn't push it. And she said, never, I'm never darkening the doors of a church ever again. And the friend always said, you're always welcome. And she was, as I say, she was a good singer. And this friend said, it would be lovely you could join the choir. We're short of altos. We usually are, you know. And she said, certainly not. And then one day, she was walking past one of the Methodist churches in Sale, the Avenue and another one. And something, now, it's interesting, because, you know, I don't believe in lots of airy-fairy things. Something made her go in. And the minister happened to be just doing something there and came and talked to her. And she told him how she'd always felt. And he said, I understand how you feel, but you're always welcome. And any time you want to discuss this, you're welcome. And on the Sunday, she appeared. And to cut a long story short, she finished up in the choir. And when I knew her, she was running the women's fellowship and had completely changed. And She died a few years ago. But it's amazing. Really, it was the influence of that friend, wasn't it? Who never gave up. It always said, you're always welcome. Now, the resurrection of Christ will indeed lead to extraordinary things to the disciples. But they have this administrative task to perform, the recruitment of a replacement for Judas. They select two, Joseph and Matthias. They prayed first, and they made the two of them draw lots. Now, it wasn't sticks. It might seem strange to us doing it that way, but that was the traditional method and amongst the Jews. It was the natural thing to do because all the offices and duties in the temple were settled this way. Now, I said it wasn't how we would draw lots, but the names of the candidates, and there was only two, remember, would be written on pebbles. And these pebbles or stones were put in a vessel with water. And they would shaken, and until one fell out. Well, it could have taken a long time. There was only two of them. And one fell out, and the person whose name was on that was elected to office. In this case, it was Matthias. Now, I wonder how Joseph felt, but he would accept it because that was the normal way. Sometimes we've all got to accept that we're not going to be chosen. When my children had grown, and I got a degree by then, so I decided to, if I could, train as a secondary school teacher. And I went and applied to what was then Manchester Poly. And I went for an interview, and it seemed to go well. And another friend, a sort of friend, also called Pam, she was going for the same thing. And she drilled me and found out exactly what they'd asked me. And I, in my naivety, told her. And she got in and I didn't. And the thing is, everything worked out. I won't go into why, but everything worked out for the best. Sometimes, well, God always knows best, doesn't he? And that's what, even though I didn't get that, God still used me and still uses us. The real mark of a Christian is not that he or she knows about Jesus, but that they know Jesus. The real Christian is the one who lives day by day with Jesus. In choosing a 12th apostle, the believers prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Next week, primary schools in England will be caught up with SATs. And later on, secondary school kids will be facing GCSE, A-levels, and a plethora of other tests. And I read a story about a head teacher who said, SATs, they're all right, but they don't really judge. They only judge academic achievements. They don't bother about a child's life, about whether they're good, whether they're kind, or any of those things. And real education should be about that, shouldn't it? I was a rainbow guider, and a little girl used to come called Scarlet. I always wanted to call her Scarlet O'Hara. Lovely little girl, and they came straight from school, more or less. And from being five, you could join rainbows. And she loved it. They all loved it. We used to play games, do crafts. And one day, Scarlet's mother came to, I was assistant guider, to the guider who was a trained teacher. And she said, I'm taking Scarlet out of rainbows. So Cynthia, the guider, said, why? Have we done something wrong? She said, well, what you're doing is not academic. They're not learning anything. And Cynthia said, she's five. She's been at school all day. This is the time to have fun. And the mother said, yes, but you'd play games. A waste of time. And Cynthia said, all children have a right to have fun. And apart from anything else, games, team games, teach you a lot. But she took her away and the little girl didn't want to leave. And I wonder sometimes about education, about Christian education. It's about living the life using the gifts that you've got. Another Sunday school teacher at Alderley Edge, before my time, was called Sam Steele. And you know what his job was? It was cleaning the gutters. You know when a man used to go along with a big brush? Do you remember that? And put the stuff in a sort of box on wheels. That was Sam. We'd have said he was an uneducated man. But he taught my husband as well in Sunday school. And one day, after we were married, my husband said, I'm going to write to Sam and say thank you for the example he gave me. And he wrote this letter, and a few years later, Sam had a stroke and couldn't speak. But we went carol singing there. We always used to go around the whole of Alderley. And he waved his hands to his wife, and she said, I know what he wants. He'd got this letter, which by this time was worn, and she said, he's never forgotten. Always grateful for that. And other people like that. A chap called George, who had left school at age 9 to work on the railway. And he was self-educated. He knew his Bible so well. He always insisted on calling me Mom, because he was an ex-Presbyterian, and they call the minister's wives Mom. I thought at first the Queen must have appeared, but that was George, who was so... I can't describe what a lovely man he was and how much he did for the church. And on the face of it, he wasn't educated at all, but he was educated in the faith by reading his Bible. And he died one Christmas day. His daughter had come for him, and he was sitting in the chair with the Bible open on his lap at the Christmas story. And that was George. He was better educated than many, wasn't he? Now, I better finish. I have to finish at 20 past. In our reading, we discover how the disciples chose Matthias to join their group by asking God to reveal the right person to him, knowing that God knows everyone's heart. God chooses to work with us and through us, knowing each of us intimately, not dependent upon a test score, exam, or final assessment. God has a thorough understanding of who we are, and if we're open to him, places us all in the spaces where we can best serve and live out the faith. Now, we'll miss out one of the hymns because you like to finish at 20 past. We'll finish with the last one, but first of all, we'll have our prayers of intercession. So let us pray. God of all time and all your people, we pray for those whose diaries and days are so full that they have no time to pause and who feel the crushing pressure of each day. Fill us with your spirit to give us life and empty us of all that is life denying. God of each moment and of every person, we pray for those whose days are lonely and dull, for whom the hours are long and the days stretch empty into night. Give us the grace to lift pressure from the overwhelmed and to bring joy to those who long for life to be more. May we all find both fulfillment and peace. Purposeful days balanced with moments for reflection. And we pray for this week, the start of Christian Aid Week. We remember all those people who need so much help from Christian Aid. And we also think about the dreadful goings on in the Gaza Strip and children, adult, and people dying, and we feel so helpless. And we pray that peace will come in the Ukraine, and awful things that's been going on in the Sudan. And we pray for this country, and the government wanting to send asylum seekers to Rwanda. And the fact that so many have been denied benefit, and people who are disabled have been finding it so difficult. We pray that people will realise, that governments realise that they need help. And we pray for all those like asylum seekers who have had to face delays. And we pray for those whose stories are front and centre in our news, for people caught up in accident and incident, war and disaster. And we pray for those whose stories are yesterday's news. And we remember all in this country who are suffering from bereavement and from nursing those who've come to the end of their life. And we pray for any in this community who need our prayers. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our final hymn is 556, Just As I Am. Before the blessing, we'll dedicate our offering today and ask God to use all in the extension of his kingdom. And now may the grace of God, the love and fellowship of Jesus Christ be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.